Hey everyone, Brian Beeler here with the Storage Review Podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. Today we're going to take a look at how NVIDIA is helping some University of Florida researchers figure out new ways to tackle plant disease. And I'd like to welcome in Yannis Ampatzidis with the University of Florida. Thanks for joining the podcast today.
Hi, Brian, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. We've been doing a lot of podcasts lately about edge computing, and your use case is really different than some of the others, but I imagine you'll have some of the same challenges. We've talked to Antarctic explorers, we've talked to wildlife preservation groups, but yours is very specific to one of Florida's key crops, and that's the citrus crop, I assume. You're fighting disease down there. What's the challenge with citrus crop in Florida?
Yeah, right. We have a lot of issues with the citrus industry in general. The main one is a disease named citrus greening. This is the name most of the people know about this disease, or HLB. HLB almost destroyed the citrus industry in Florida. So there's no, we cannot cure the disease right now. At least we don't know any way to cure the disease, but we try to learn how to live with it. And to do that, we try to optimize any other, like any applications to have the trees still productive, but they're not at the level that they used to be.
So you grow citrus almost year round down there, is that right? Or what, maybe nine months of the year?
No, citrus is a tree and you harvest once per year. But there's so many other applications. As you said, we need to fight other diseases. Nutrient and water management is very important. And we need now to optimize these applications. Imagine that this disease makes the trees weak. And the plus you have other type of bacteria and viruses, pests that might affect the production, the citrus tree production. So we need to develop a system, an overall system that will be still productive and cost effective.
Okay.
So managing inputs, and inputs it includes everything, water, as I said, nutrient, any kind of chemicals that we apply, energy, and then at the end you have the yield and fruit quality, juice quality in this case, and you need to have a economically feasible system. So you need to make some money. So well, that's the challenge.
Well, it's good. You solve a problem and make a little money, which is good, and fund continuing research in this space. Yeah, I know. We've spent a lot of time, our family has, down in the Sarasota area, and Allbritton's a big fruit company down there. And January means honeybell season. And for anyone that's never had a honeybell, I think it's some sort of Tangelo hybrid or something, but it's absolutely fantastic. One of the best citruses around, in my view. So before, I want to get into the device and understand how you're doing, what you're doing, and understand the data you're collecting and the analysis. But before we get that far, you guys were part of a recent announcement from NVIDIA earlier in the month about some of the AI research that they're enabling. What's going on, to the best of your ability, from the perspective of what you're doing with the University of Florida? But what's this program exactly? What does it mean to you, and how do you get access into this NVIDIA research accelerator?
Yeah, let me start a little bit to briefly introduce myself. I'm an assistant professor at the Department of Agricultural and Biological Engineering, and I'm located in a research center in Southwest Florida, in the Southwest Florida Research Education Center, where we are developing applied projects for to help the industry and our stakeholders, which includes citrus producers, but also vegetables and other allied industry, like technology companies that they try to help the growers to deal with several issues. So with citrus, we are developing several, we call them smart technologies for precision agricultural applications. In one of them, we are developing a smart sprayer and a smart fertilizer. And the goal there is to optimize the way we apply chemicals. And that can help, first of all, reduce the application cost. So apply as needed and when is needed. And also they will reduce negative impact to the environment, because the overspray, when we overapply chemicals, that can create other issues. A lot of them through weed drift, they can end up in areas that we don't need them, and they will pollute the environment, the underground water and the environment. So the goal is to use, with some of these smart sprayers, we use sensor fusion, so a combination of different type of low-cost sensors. The main goal is also to develop solutions that a small or a medium farmer can also adopt. So the goal is to develop easy-to-use tools and low-cost tools. So we just integrated with existing sprayers to optimize the amount of chemicals we apply. And we use different type of AI models and data from different sensors, for example, low-cost LiDARs and RGB cameras, to detect, first of all, the trees, detect the size of the tree, the volume of the tree, the canopy volume, the tree height, and based the leaf density, which is very important. And based on that, we vary the amount of the chemicals we apply. For example, okay, if you have a small tree, and again, in Florida, because of citrus greening, we have a huge variability in the field. You see big trees next to a small tree. And then maybe there's even gaps, there are places that there are no trees because trees had died and the growers had to remove them. So there's a huge variability. And it doesn't make sense anymore to go and apply with the same rate and with the same amount the entire field. So you need to have a smart system to detect canopy volume, first of all, and leaf density. And based on that, you take decisions. And again, everything is automated to apply the right amount of the chemical. And at the same...
Well, before you get too far, I want to make sure I understand too this NVIDIA connection, because I know that they're doing a lot of work to enable researchers like you with equipment, with grants, with that sort of thing. Now you're in that program with this sprayer. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, and we are very happy that NVIDIA is supporting this project. Again, we are developing some kind of system of systems. This is one of the systems, is like the smart sprayer. The goal is to have a more integrated system that we combine data from drones, aerial drones, unmanned aerial vehicles or UAVs or systems, UAS, with ground sensing systems. And a good example is the smart sprayer to optimize agricultural applications. How we use the NVIDIA platforms, with the sprayers, we need to run the AI models in real time. So we are using platforms like the Jetsons. We tried almost all of them. And based on the application, we try to identify what's the best platform to use. Again, based on the power consumption, the cost, of course, and the most important is the capabilities, because especially with the RGB cameras, the cameras that we are using, we have videos or images, but a huge amount of data that we need to process in real time to take decisions. An example is like we use, it's a combination of the LiDAR and the cameras to detect not only the trees, but the leaf density, which is very important, because if a tree is all dead, you don't really need to spray on the tree, again, based on the application.
No, it's not going to help bring the tree back, is it?
Exactly. If it's dead, it's dead. So there are other systems, the previous models that they use symbol like object detection sensors, but these object detection sensors, they detect any kind of object. Even if it's a human around, it will detect the human as an object, it will spray. With this system, though, we avoid that. That's why we need to detect, first of all, if it's tree, if it's citrus tree or different type of tree, and if it's any other object that it can be in the field. And of course, if it's a human, will not spray. You spray only where it's needed.
And so what's the process today, though? If you don't have a smart sprayer like this, is it a manual process, because it's, or is, are some of it the steps automated? Because it sounds like that there's some of the technology in place and that now you're helping the technology make better decisions. Just help me understand that.
Exactly. That's a good question, Brian. So, there, the traditional system, the traditional broadcast sprayers, that what they usually do, they apply the same amount in the entire field. So that means that even if there's a gap, like a space with no tree, they will keep spraying. If it's a small tree or a big tree, they will spray the same amount. There are some technologies that they are smarter. So they use, as I said, some kind of object detection sensors, like infrared sensors. And based on that, they have different zones, spraying zones. For example, there's, let's say, four zones from one, the left and right side. And each zone controls includes four nozzles. And based on where an object is detected in any of these zones, they turn them on and off. This is a pretty simple system because, again, as I said, like even if there's another object there, it will spray because it will detect an object in a specific zone. If the tree is dead, it will still spray because it will still detect an object. It's a simple object detection system. So that's why we had to make it smarter. And this has a lot of applications here in Florida. There are trees that are pretty weak or even dead that you don't need to spray the same amount. That's why measuring also the leaf density is important. And as so I said,
When you look at what you're doing then from a technology standpoint, you talked about the cameras, the LiDAR, and then of course the Jetson units. For people that aren't super familiar with Jetson units, I mean, it's basically a small computer, right, ranging from something resembling a Raspberry Pi up to, you know, something that's a couple hundred dollars that has GPU on it. So there's a number of different offerings there. And I think when people think about the work that you're doing about smart industrial vehicles, for lack of a better term, a lot of people think about those being internet connected and passing data to a data center that's got the traditional racks of servers and GPUs and that sort of thing. Are you actually you're doing all the computation at the edge in your device itself that you're adding to the sprayer? That's in itself is pretty remarkable that you're able to get that out of a little Jetson board.
Exactly. And that's the challenge. When you are in a remote field, like the agricultural fields, you most of the time you don't have internet connection. You don't have cellular connection. So you need a device that is able to analyze data in real time. And somehow, as you said, you need a computer there, but a low-cost system. And in our case, because we use machine vision and image processing, we need a powerful GPU system.
Right.
So that's why the JSON Javier or TX2, they're really good units for us. And they're relatively low cost for these applications, and they can process the data in real time, which is very important for us. There's another, for this task, we need to detect something and take decision in real time. So detect and spray. What I was trying to say before also, we use the same system to collect data at the time that we spray. And this data can be detect even the trees and the tree size and develop nice maps with like a tree inventory maps. Also, we detect fruit, even at the immature fruit. So the citrus fruit, they start the oranges, they start from green color to the orange one. When they're green, it's very difficult also to detect them because they have similar colors with the leaves.
Right, they're hidden, right?
Exactly. And so doing that at the same time you spray, it's very valuable. And you can use this information to develop, and we're developing yield prediction maps, but also you can use it to evaluate different kinds of treatments. For example, HLB also develops another problem, the fruit drop. A lot of fruit will drop during the season, before harvest. So even if you, at the beginning, you see that you have a good fruit load, when you go close to the harvest, a lot of them will drop. And at the immature level, so you cannot really collect them anymore or harvest them. So that's a loss, a huge loss. Imagine that with these sprayers, we use them all the time. And as the time you spray, you collect also this information. So send us, again, as I said, we use images for tree detection and leaf density detection and measurement, but also for fruit detection and fruit size estimation. So you need a very powerful computer. And again, the JSON platforms, they're very helpful for us. We're still facing some different challenges. We try to optimize the performance of the units. And there's a lot of things that we can do with parallel programming. And we can try to reduce the number of the devices that we use for all these different tasks, because we use different type of AIs for detection, AIs for classification, and again, AI models for the tree and leaf density detection, and for the fruit detection, so that it's a more complicated system. And we try now to use all the capabilities that the NVIDIA Jetson system platform can give us to optimize the performance of our system. And as I said before, when you go to the field, in the remote field, you don't have internet connection most of the time. So you cannot really send the data to a cloud platform and then later analyze them. Mm-hmm. And there's another problem, assuming that you don't need to spray, so you don't need to analyze the data in real time, but you need to collect the data, and then you can go to a computer, use another cloud-based platform or a powerful computer to analyze the run your AI models and, for example, count fruit, because to count fruit, you don't need to do it in real time. The problem there is that you need to collect a huge amount of images in the field, and that can generate other issues, not only storage issues, but more like the problems with the logistics, let's say, or how easy it's to use these tools, because you need to collect the data from there, then you need to upload the data to a system or to the cloud. That will take a lot of time. So analyzing the data first in real time in the field, we really convert this data to important information. So you're converting data to information, you reduce the size of the data. You collect only the important data that you need for the specific application. And that really help us a lot.
So you do your analysis on the data in real time. You'll save the decisions, the logs from what this thing does, and mm-hmm. not necessarily every image that it captured or every sensor reading that it took to lower your overall data footprint, I assume. But you must have a USB flash drive or something plugged into these Jetson units?
Yes, we do. You can also have wireless connection if you are if there's a Wi-Fi, let's say in the place that you park the sprayer, that you can wirelessly transmit the data. But also we have a USB storage device that we collect as you said, this kind of metadata, the only the important data, the decisions or the information that we need. And then this is the only thing that you need to upload to another platform that this is another project. We call this platform AgroView. It's a cloud-based platform, but this platform will better visualize your data for you and has all the logs, the sprayer path. I forgot to say that this system has also a GPS. So you know the location and you know the amount that you apply. So you can have also really nice spray maps. You know how much you apply in different areas in the field, or if you even missed a row or missed an area of the field that for a reason didn't spray. So there's another tool that we visualize the collected data, but we first process the data in real time, which is again very important for us. I cannot even explain how important it is. So you don't need to it's not only the amount of the data, but then imagine if you collect thousands of images and thousands of 3D cloud point data from your LiDAR, and then you need to put it in another software that processes all the data. That takes a lot of time, and growers, managers, they don't like that. They prefer something like easier to use.
Easier and more instant. And well, I mean, the decisions that you're making, you know, we talked about at the beginning, some of the time windows to harvest these varieties of citrus. I mean, you have to kind of get it right, else you're not going to make your sales goals on the back end, I'm sure, if you can't deliver high quality produce that's ready on time and certainly doesn't have the greening problem, which, you know, obviously makes it unsellable. I do have a procedural question for you, though, because I think a lot of organizations struggle with this, not just education or research, but regular business enterprise as well. You talked about having a couple AI models for image detection and for counting and some other tasks. Do you have a background in AI? And if not, I'm kind of curious how you got there, because the idea of creating an AI to help your business is fantastic, but a lot of people have no clue as to where to start to even go figure that out. I mean, how did you even get started with that concept?
Okay, so in general, my background was more in automation and precision agriculture. So smart technologies for agricultural applications, and that included also image processing and machine vision, and specifically for robotic technologies like mechanical harvesters, fruit harvesters. And recently, when we had the power to use neural networks, for example, and all the other machine learning and AI tools, I focus more on the AI-based technologies or techniques, and this is how we start connecting machine vision with AI, trying to solve different problems including, for example, object detection and classification, but also disease detection.
For things like object detection, and in your case, the sprayer, you know, seeing a tree or not a tree, does a lot of that technology exist already, or are researchers like you still creating that kind of thing net new every time?
It's yes and no. Again, it depends the application. If you, let's say you develop a model, deep learning CNN model, for example, to detect trees in aerial images from drones, you cannot really use the same model for the sprayers. But you can use transfer learning to train your model to detect trees from a different angle, because now you're from the ground and take images from the side, and the drones, the UAVs take images from above. So it's somehow yes and no. And also there's different models that you can use. And if you want to develop something for real-time applications, you need also to consider how fast you can do it. What's the frequency there? How many frames per second you can analyze? So there's a lot of factors you need to consider and different challenges. And as I said, in our case, we use different AI models for different tasks. We combine tree detection, fruit detection, leaf density detection. So, and of course, there's also classification issues, and you can add there disease detections using multispectral or hyperspectral cameras, for example, which we are doing right now with drones. But you can use there, you can apply transfer learning and get the models that are already trained to detect something using data from drones to develop models that they can collect data from the side and train them to detect specific diseases.
So in addition to the disease work and the modeling you can do by, you know, looking at a citrus grove's location of the trees and maturity, and you can probably give the grower a ton of information now that it probably existed before, but was more of a manual curation and may not have actually been documented. I mean, you know, a lot of these guys probably know, generally in their heads, how many, you know, trees might be in certain stages, but maybe not gathering that data and doing any sort of analysis on it. Now that you're providing the data that you've got so far, how does that change the outcome for the growers? Obviously, it's less humans in the field doing you know, work that is less documented, but what else has come out of it so far?
That's a very good question too. I will give you an example. After 2017, September 2017, actually, it was the time that I also moved here in Florida from California. And after Hurricane Irma, which was some kind of my welcome party, U.S. Department of Agriculture developed new policies for all the different tree crops for the insurances and the growers to report more accurate data about their fields. And as I said before, in Florida, because of citrus greening, there's a huge variability in an orchard, in a field. You see small trees, big trees, medium trees, a lot of gaps. Sometimes the gaps are like they cover 50% of the field. So the growers, they don't really know how many trees they have, and they cannot categorize the trees based on their age, because the age will give you an idea of the productivity. The age and the variety and the rootstock that you use, it can give you an idea of the productivity, plus if you have information about the stress level. So to develop this inventory, so to just count trees and categorize them based on their height, because based on the height, you can somehow connect it with age. Most of the growers had to hire companies or hire people to drive in the field. And usually there are two people, one with clickers, one looks at the left, the other one at the right. And when they see a small tree, they click one of them. When they see the big tree, I mean, it's very time-consuming. It can take months or even years. I know a grower that they had more than 20,000 acres. They had to hire two full-time people for, I think, 16 or 18 months to count trees and develop this kind of tree inventory. And actually, at the end, you don't even have maps. You just have some numbers. So with now with the other project that we have drones, but also you can now do it with the sprayers, you can collect this data in weeks or days. I mean, you can reduce the time by even 90%. And of course, you can also reduce the cost because you don't need people driving around. And I mean, if you ask me to do that, I will also maybe make a lot of mistakes because, you know, after a while you get tired. And
sure.
So that's why I say, like, there's, I think, a clear benefit to the growers. A very important task also is, like, if you can detect early disease, that is very important because, especially with other crops, citrus now it's very challenging how it is anyway with the greening and other issues like citrus canker and black spot. But we are working also with tomatoes, watermelon, squash, peppers. If you ever
squash can all die. Don't worry about those.
No, the thing is, like, the early detection is important. This is what I'm trying to say, because you can control the spread. And if you miss that, you might lose the entire production, which is a huge problem. So this is all these tools that we try to automate them to help growers, like, to solve real life problems.
Yeah, it sounds like it, and it's pretty, you know, your data flow, I think, is pretty cool from doing the analysis in the field, taking some of that data, running it back to your systems in the cloud to do more analysis and deliver the visualizations. I mean, it just it sounds just like a nice tidy circular approach to be able to do all of that. Are you, so I know you're using the Jetsons in the field. What other technologies are you using for the cloud analysis? Are you doing, like, cloud hosted GPUs or anything fancy on that, or is it more just brute force compute power to get that done?
No, we use some of the available cloud solutions. I don't want to name which one we use now, but we found that it's relatively low cost and somehow easy for us to use, because they also provide a good storage, and it's not, again, very expensive. But our main goal is to develop our own server. And this is actually the second proposal we made to NVIDIA to help us develop a nice server unit that we can better control and host all the AI algorithms that we run, but also the visualization platform.
Well, hopefully, since you've been kind enough to come on the podcast and talk about their development support, they'll be more inclined to reinforce the good behavior. So, have you looked at, you know, we talked about the Jetson program, of course. They've got some others that, you know, maybe are less applicable to you as part of the research accelerator, Isaac, and for robotics, and DeepStream, I think, is more of a surveillance or video analytics piece. Are either of those germane to the work you're doing?
Not yet, but through this program, we are looking forward to collaborate with you guys and the technical team in the NVIDIA to help us better understand all the solutions that you provide. And as I said before, it's very important for us to optimize and use all the capabilities of this platform, because there are things that still we are not using. There are some capabilities that, like as I said, parallel programming, that they will really help us. So this is the good thing with this accelerator program, that the NVIDIA provides also a technical support, which is very important for us.
I think that's critical, because you're out there doing the work and working on your models, but to have somebody that really understands the relationship between your model technology and their hardware and software platforms has got to be a huge leg up, and rather than trying to put this together on your own.
Exactly. Yes, we are looking forward for that, and I'm sure that they can help us a lot. We already had a brief discussion with them, and we got really good feedback, and we are working on that right now. So I imagine that soon we can have more meetings with the right team, and they will, as I said before, we're more expert on developing the AI models. Now we need to better understand how to really use these platforms.
Yeah, I think just generally speaking, the concept, and we haven't even really talked to NVIDIA about this much at all, but the accelerator program for researchers, it's just a great thing, right? To encourage this type of development, because I'm sure, and you've probably got better insight into this than I do, that the level of aspiration at universities, I'm sure, is globally quite high to go embrace these new technologies, understand them, and how they can impact work and personal lives and that sort of thing. But the capabilities at every university may not be there from a development standpoint. So to have someone help execute that is pretty strong. Is there, amongst the academic institutions, at least in maybe in your specialty, or maybe in the US anyway, is there a good support network for researchers like yourselves to be able to engage with your peers on not necessarily on projects like this, but on more global initiatives around embracing AI and this type of analytics?
Yeah, right now, actually, there's a huge effort that, at least my university, but I know that happens in other universities too. So at the University of Florida, there is a huge effort now to increase our expertise in AI, hire more people, more experts, more people working in the foundation AI, applied AI, and develop like a team that can help all these people to not only collaborate among them, but collaborate with people that they don't know anything about AI, but we can develop tools for them that they can use in their applications. And that already happens in my center. I can give you a lot of examples, but I collaborate, and I couldn't achieve what we have achieved right now without my coworkers, which they are like horticulturalists, plant pathologists. They really identify the main issue, and we try to develop some tools with them to solve this problem. And they're also helping us with evaluating these tools in the field. So, for example, we have some collaboration with one of my coworkers to develop fertility maps. So we use drones to estimate or determine the plant nutrient concentration. And based on that, you develop fertility and application maps that a sprayer can read or a fertilizer can read and apply different amount based on the actual need. So we develop different zones that they represent, for example, different levels of nitrogen that like leaf, that is the leaf the nitrogen concentration of the leaves. And then based on that, you decide how much to apply. So all this project, we work with other experts to develop. We're developing different projects to use images from microscopes and detect and count leaf stomata and even classify them to open and close. This is very important for scientists. They do it manually. So they have they take the images from the microscope and manually try to count thousands of stomata to evaluate treatments, for precision irrigation, for different applications. But you know, to automate that using AI models, it's very important and something that they can use later as a tool. That's why we try to develop, in the University of Florida that developed this huge effort to educate faculty staff and above all the students on AI and AI tools. So we can train people to develop new models, and we can train people to develop tools using existing models, so do some more applied research. And of course,
that's just really impressive. Yeah.
Sorry, but I just want to add that NVIDIA made a huge donation to University of Florida. I think the University of Florida has now some money, this in-kind donation from NVIDIA, but also some public money. They raised around $70 million, I think, to develop a supercomputer at the University of Florida, which I think will be the faster supercomputer at the university level in the world, which is super amazing, and we are looking forward actually to use it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, the HPC space is amazing, and the technology that schools are building in now. I mean, it's funny because I used to go to Supercompute all the time back when we had events, and in the early days, you'd see a lot of individual departments or individual projects getting funded and building up their own little smaller version of a supercomputer. And then at the end of the project, it would just kind of go away. Universities have done a really good job in the last couple of years of pulling that money together to put it into, not a single entity, but in some cases, one large supercomputer that you can timeshare out with the entire university. And that methodology seems to be going quite well. And congratulations to you guys on that. That'll be a fantastic, both for research and to attract student talent to the university.
Yeah, that's very important. And thank you guys for supporting us. And this is very important also to build not only the connection with NVIDIA and you, but also with other, we have other industry partners, and will help them to faster commercialize these technologies, because what we really develop at the university, they're like prototypes. And after the prototype stage, we need to go to the product stage that we are working right now with this specific smart sprayer. We are very close to commercialize it, but there are different steps that we need to follow now. And one important one is like how we can really reduce cost and optimize performance and deal with any other challenges that we might have. And I think your support here will be very important.
Well, that's great. And it is an important differentiation when you're thinking about, you guys are on the development edge of this thing very, very early. And I think your emphasis on computational power versus the cost to bring that to market is dead on. If it's too expensive, then people won't buy it. And if it's not accurate or good enough, then they won't buy it either. So it's difficult. Straddle you have to do there, especially when you're embracing all this new technology, or at least putting it together in a novel way, is it's a big challenge. But I certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about it, about the what you're doing with Jetson, the NVIDIA program, and all this other work. I wish you the best of luck in helping save the citrus. I have a very soft spot in my heart for citrus, but not for squashes. So I do not support any of this work for squashes. In fact, I demand you stop saving squashes immediately.
I see. Again, thanks, Brian, for having us. And again, I would like to thank NVIDIA for their support.